Are you ready for tomorrow? Are you ready? Men, are you ready? Tomorrow we go into Jericho. Tomorrow we take Jericho. I need to know if you're ready. Are you ready? My friend, do you know where my clicker is? Technical difficulties. You, sir, shall become my clicker. Like I said, tomorrow is the day that we take Jericho. I thought I heard Moses earlier today. Moses has been a great friend, a mentor, a humble man. I followed Moses wherever he went. You are awesome, my friend. My men are so excited about going into Jericho tomorrow. So much so that there's a couple of artists that got together looking ahead of what they think that Jericho might look like. And they did this portrait of myself. Yes, it is a little extreme, I admit. But one thing I appreciate about this picture is that it shows the boldness and the courage and the strength in which God provides us as His people. It reminded me of a few things that I have been writing down in the scroll. Let's see if you think the same. I truly believe these are God's inspired words. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. That's me. Moses' servant. Saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I have been with Moses. I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. And then he said, be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. I have promised to give them this land. And then he said once again, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. And then he said, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three times he said, be strong and courageous. The first time, it is based upon his promise. The second time he said it was based upon my obedience to his word. And the third time he promised was all about his spirit being with me. Have you ever been given a charge by God? A task that is way too big for you to accomplish on your own, where he turns to you and he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. Are you being strong and courageous? Knowing that his promises are true? Knowing that his word is to be obeyed? And knowing that his spirit is with you always? I trust that you will obey. Earlier today, I stepped in a pothole and I think I sprained my ankle. But even so, it will be healed tomorrow. For tomorrow we walk 7 times around Jericho. And on the 7th time we walk around, you may think that that is when we will charge in, but that is when we will pause. And the trumpets will blow, and we will shout aloud, men. And God will do something. Something amazing. Because he said he would give it to us. So all that is needed now on our parts is to trust him. Will we trust his words? Moses died 40 years ago, and for 40 years we have been wandering in the wilderness because we have not trusted God. We have tested God. We have grumbled against God. I have determined that for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And I say to you, choose this day in whom you will serve. And give your whole heart to him. There is only one God and one King, one Creator of the universe. I would like to remind you of a few things and why we can be courageous. Remember last week we learned on day one that God is with us, so trust God. How did God show us that he was with us? He poured out plague upon plague upon Pharaoh, who would not let our people go, remember? God said that I heard their cry and I came down to deliver them. Pharaoh didn't have a chance. But Pharaoh hardened his heart over and over and over again to the point where God hardened his heart the rest of the way and used Pharaoh to accomplish his purposes. And God opened up the Red Sea and our people walked across on dry land to demonstrate to us that he is not like any God that we had witnessed in Egypt. Those gods are dead. Those gods are to be known about. Our God is to be known. And for him to know us. The whole reason why he delivered us from the Egyptians was to bring us up to the mountain where we could enter into a covenant with this holy God. To know him. Remember the second day, we should be encouraged because we are reminded that God gives us what we need. after the waters of the Red Sea closed up over the armies of Pharaoh, God did something wonderful. He let us go 3 days without water. And you might say, Joshua, why is that wonderful? Because those of us who turned to God and said, God, we know you can supply water anytime you want, we will trust you. We grew in our faith and our strength. But most of the nation of my people grumbled and complained. Even after all that they had seen in Egypt, God allowed us to become hungry for this one purpose: to humble us as His people and to wean us off of this world and wean us off of our own strength and our own independence, and to bring us to a place where we would be fully dependent on Him. And for us who wanted to keep our eyes on Him, we said, do it, Lord. But for most, they grumbled and complained. And even in spite of our rebellion, God still rained down manna from heaven and fed my people with quail for 40 years. To the point where I stand here before you today, remembering the incredible memorial stones, remembering the incredible work that God has done in our lives. Do you ever go back into your life and remember how God has been faithful to you? What I know about me and my people is that we forget too quickly. And we are all too prone to fret and worry when the God of the universe keeps all of the planets in their orbits and has given every star a name. Day 3 encourages us because it reveals that God gives us strength. So we need to trust in Him. This is the day that Moses turned to me and he said, Joshua, I want you to lead the army and I want you to defeat the Amalekites. And God had set it up in just a way to help us to see that in man's strength, we cannot overcome. For it was when Moses had his hands up in the air where Israel prevailed. But Moses, like every one of us in this room, are weak. And we cannot accomplish God's purposes on our own. We need His strength to accomplish His purposes. We defeated the Amalekites that day. Day 4. Here's a picture of the Amalekites coming down the valley, and where Moses would sit on top of the ringside hill looking over Rephidim, which means rest. There wasn't much rest that day until the last man was slain. My friends, these places are real. These stories are true. If these stories aren't true, then there is no hope in this world. Day 4 shows us that God saves us. And He did it with the last plague that finally broke Pharaoh. Because the Egyptians, most of them, did not take a lamb, and they did not slit its throat at twilight. They did not take the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. They didn't do this, so the death angel came down and took the life of that child, and Pharaoh's firstborn son had died. And he finally, as a broken man, said, "You can go. My people learned that day that it's because of the blood that was on the doorpost of our home that judgment passed over us. It was because of the blood of the Lamb." God was teaching us something. He was teaching us something about sacrifice. That our sins have to be atoned for. That our sins have to be paid for. Something or someone has to take the punishment. Have you experienced God as a God who is merciful and gracious in your life? Who longs to forgive you? But He can only forgive us if His justice is fully served. Day 5, we were encouraged that God guides us. His words are true. I remember being on Sinai. Most people don't remember that I was one that went up with Moses. Here's a picture of Moses and I as we are coming down with the commandments. God spoke to us. We experienced God's voice and His word rang clear in our ears. Do you know that you have many voices that are trying to compete for your mind? And if God's voice does not rise above all other voices, you will cater to those lower and lesser and vile voices that will constantly take your eyes off of Him. God's voice was clear. But by the time we got down to camp, the people had once again turned to rebellion. And I remember that time I tried to stop Moses. "Don't break the commandments." But he smashed them to the ground. Because of his anger, because of the people had broken every single one of the commandments. Do you know that it says in the Word of God that if you break one commandment, it's though you've broken all of them? Have you loved God with all of your heart? First commandment, have you fashioned for yourself a God in your own choosing? God says, don't do it. Have you taken the Lord thy God's name in vain? Have you always kept the Sabbath holy? To set one day aside to remember this incredible God? Have you always honored your father and your mother? Have you committed adultery? Murder? Have you lied? Have you coveted? If you have, you've broken all commandments. This is what my people experienced on the mountain. Because what we experienced was that God is holy. And He is righteous. And He is just. And we are not. Even Moses and myself trembled at His word. This is the God in whom we have to do. This is the God that we have to stand before one day. Us who have broken every one of His laws. You may wonder why God brought us up to the mountain. You may be surprised. It wasn't only just to give us commandments. God was preparing a plan so that sinful people like us can enter into His holy presence. And He did that by first bringing down the law. His commandments are like this gentleman who is trying to push this rock up this steep hill. God's laws will crush him. But God made a way. He found a way to punish our iniquities, our sins, to their maximum penalty. And at the same time, to forgive us and to welcome us as His very own children. So He laid out for us, Moses and myself, the plans for the tabernacle. In this tabernacle is where God would reside. This would be the one place on planet Earth where man was able to commune and to talk with God. My people surrounded this place. The 12 tribes of Israel surrounded the temple which sat in the middle. All for the purpose of having something where we can have our sins dealt with. And the process went like this. I broke a law of God. I was instructed to that point, if I wanted to enter into a relationship with my God, that I would take this animal and this animal would become my substitute. And I would give this animal to the priest, and the priest would take this animal to this altar and would sacrifice this animal. And he would take the blood inside. I was working late last night, coming up with a blueprint for you all so that you could see what was inside the temple area. Notice that there's only one entrance. There's only one door for man to enter into to have communion with God. There are not many ways, there is one way. The first stop is the altar of burnt offerings, where the priests have been trained to take the offering that you have brought, the substitute. The bronze laver reminds the priest that they must wash themselves upon entering into the holy place. In the holy place, you will find the table of showbread. You will also find the menorah, the lampstand, and the altar of incense. It would look something like this. Looking the farthest in outwards and looking from the doorway in, it would look something like this. I don't have time to go into it, but each item in this room means something significant. But where it all led was to this curtain, this veil. This veil was the one thing that separated something awful. Something great, something bright and beautiful, something that is perfect and holy from that which is common. And the priest knew it. What lied behind this curtain was the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God Himself. This is where God met man. There are different looks of the Ark of the Covenant, I understand, these days. Also movies made with the Ark of the Covenant. But you must know that the Ark, it says, there above the cover between the two cherubim that are over the Ark of the Testimony, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites. This was the meeting place. Leviticus 16:2, tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. The Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim that are on the ark. The Ark of the Covenant was the one piece of furniture in the temple that represented the very presence of God Himself. And when God showed up, it was obvious to all. It would have looked something like this. And all of us would look with wonder and awe as the presence of God would come down. But notice what is inside the Ark of the Covenant. The Ten Commandments. Manna. A bowl of manna. And Aaron's priestly staff. How does all this fit together? The manna reminds us that God must provide salvation. God is the one who provides bread from heaven. The commandments remind us that there is a holy standard that must be lived up to. And Aaron's priestly staff reminded us that not just anybody can bring an animal in for a sacrifice. It had to be a priest. So these symbols remind us, and they remind God, that our salvation must have a priest that comes in with the sacrifice so that the commandments would not be broken. If you fast forward 2,000 years. And now I've become Pastor Dan Mouche. You would do well to know something. This promise that God had made to mankind, that He would provide a perfect priest, and that He would provide a perfect sacrifice when He sent forth His Son. It says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life and never broke a commandment. But he was also our high priest that could take the sacrifice into the very holy holies of God Almighty. And now all he needed was a sacrifice. And that's when he laid down his life for us. And the scripture says, he who knew no sin, he became sin on our behalf. He took upon himself the sins that we have committed, the laws that we have violated. And he died and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again and now offers you that salvation. That if you would believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. To which he promises you, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. For my word is true. Be strong and courageous because my promise has been made. Be strong and courageous because I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. The reason why we can go into Jericho tomorrow isn't because our numbers are great. It isn't because we have big biceps. Isn't because our swords are sharp. There's one who is faithful, the all-powerful King of Kings and Lord of Lords is our guide. Are you living such a life? Are you following after such a one? Our great desire is that you are. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for this week and the privilege of being able to teach these children about Moses, but more importantly about you. For you were patient with Moses. This man who tried to do it in the flesh for so many years, you took and handpicked to save a nation through. Lord God, would you humble us that we would see that we are but dust apart from you, and give us faith to follow and to embrace the salvation that you long to give each one of us. And we pray these things in Christ's name, amen.